Most tend to associate drinking to alcohol than we were to drugs. We are grateful to the AA Fellowship for showing us the way to a new life. The 12 steps from Narcotics Anonymous as adapted from AA are the basis of our recovery program. We have only broadened our perspective. We follow the same path with a single exception. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive with respect to any mood-changing, mind-altering substance. Alcoholism is too limited a term for us. Our problem is not a specific substance, it's a disease called addiction. We believe that as a fellowship, we've been guided by a greater consciousness and are grateful for the direction that has enabled us to build upon our already proven program of recovery.
Thank you.
At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Marjorie from the Frederick area.
Hi, I'm Marjorie. I'm an addict. Boy, I am nervous. You know, when I was asked to speak and I was given my topic, immediately I was like, no, I can't share on sponsorship in a home group. I'm not qualified to speak about that, you know. All of those negative self-talk voices came up, and which still happens, and I was really nervous. So on Thursday, I decided what I was going to do is I was going to Google some speaker tapes. And if I listened to some speaker tapes of other people speaking about home groups and sponsorships, you know, that would, like, get me in the right mindset, you know. So I Googled home group. Nothing came up. Couldn't find one. I Googled NA speaker tape, free, sponsorship. One came up. One. So I download and I click it. And the first thing I hear is, I'm Margie and I'm next. I don't have a very common name, you know. So that was my higher power reminding me that we are all reflections of one another. You know, we are all each other's mirror. And I don't need to listen to someone else to hear what to say. That all I need to do is invite my higher power into the process and be honest and share my experience, strength, and hope. So, my first convention was in Ocean City here. And so it's fitting that the first convention I ever was asked to speak at was here, because this is my home. And this is my favorite convention. I've been to world conventions and conventions in other areas. But this is the one where I really feel at home. When I got here, I've been in and out for a while. I've been mainly out. And the first day I got clean and was able to stay clean was June 4th, 1996. I was 20. And a month later, I moved to Frederick from PG County, and I went to a halfway house. It was a 4 to 6 month program. And exactly 4 months from the day I moved there was going to be my 21st birthday. I was leaving Frederick that day. You know, and I'm still in Frederick. You know, what I found in Frederick was a family and a home and a life, and a life beyond my wildest dreams, you know, which is not a flashy life, but it's a life where I have peace and I have friends, you know, and a life where I don't want to get high every day. And that first year, I wanted to get high every day, multiple times a day. I am an all or nothing kind of person, so when I decided I was going to stop the half-stepping and I was really going to do this thing, I was going to do it exactly right. In high school, I got A's, straight A's, or I got F's. I was going to get straight A's in recovery. So I got here and I started taking suggestions, you know. And one of the suggestions was to get a home group, which I did. I picked the biggest meeting in Frederick at the time. It was a Friday night candlelight. That's where all the cool kids hung out. So that's the one I picked. And I didn't really fit in there. It wasn't that great for me. And then my work schedule changed. I had to pick another home group. And that was my higher power working. So I picked another home group, a smaller home group. After our first group conscious, there was this guy who's actually in the room today, and I don't think he remembers this, but this guy was like, look, what are you doing on Sunday? Like, nothing. He said, all right, take this money, go to this address, and go buy some literature for the meeting. So, you know, I did, you know, and what did I find but area service? And a service junkie was born. I was really excited to see the behind the scenes. And so then I had a home group and a service position. And like I said, I was praying all the time for God to relieve my obsession to use. I was at the halfway house, I was going to meetings, I had a network, I was reading literature. The only thing I didn't have was a sponsor. And I was very intimidated about the prospect of getting a sponsor and asking for a sponsor. But what happened was, after 7 months, I was going to leave the halfway house. I had to leave the halfway house. And I wasn't going to get my little certificate of completion unless I got a sponsor. You know, and I wanted that certificate. You know, give me my straight A's, give me my gold star. You know, all right, I got to do this. And it's funny because, you know, for like 4 years, at that point, maybe 4 years, from 16 to 20, I was on my own, you know. And I traveled around a lot, and I went to a lot of different places, and I tried geographical cures. And you could sit me in any city, in any new town, in any place, and I would find what I needed, you know. I would look for the most rundown areas of town. I would look for the nodders. I would go up to strangers and ask them to help me get high. If I couldn't find the nodders, I'd look for the tweakers and ask them where the nodders were. And I had no problem doing that. I had no fear, you know. I had no problem doing that. I had no problem walking up to a stranger and saying, can you please help me die? Can you help me kill myself? But when it came time and I was told I needed to ask someone to help me live, you know, that scared the shit out of me. You know, and I was intimidated. But I prayed about it, and I did it because I had to do it. And you know what? Most of my recovery is based on doing things I don't want to do, like this meeting. So I found a woman that was not terribly intimidating. She was happy. She smiled a lot. She talked more about where she was going than where she was. She had something I wanted, which was not something material, but it was like the peace inside of herself. She seemed comfortable in her own skin, which I was not. And she seemed like a woman, and I seemed like a little girl. So I asked her to be my sponsor, and we started working on a relationship. We started working steps. She wasn't really interested in all my little workbooks and my stuff from treatment and everything I did in my recovery house. We started working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and she had me start at one. And we built our relationship. We talked, and I took lots of suggestions, and I was a little self-righteous about that. So at about 1 week before I got 1 year clean, I stopped taking the suggestion that I'd been taking. I was obnoxiously self-righteous about the fact that I was staying out of relationships for my first year. And I made it to a week before 1 year. And I was so mortified, I was so embarrassed, and I was so afraid to tell this woman. I thought she was going to yell at me. I thought she was going to judge me or be disappointed in me. And so I call her up, and I'm just hemming and hawing, and, oh, I got to tell you something, I did something really bad, on and on. I finally come out with it. She just laughs. She's like, honey, you're human. You know, it's fine. It's okay. I don't expect you to be perfect. Nobody expects you to be perfect. Nobody except for me. But anyway, yeah, and that was the first time I really told her something that I was afraid to tell her, and that was when really the trust started building, you know. And, you know, I stayed clean. I worked on my relationship with my sponsor. We did a fifth step together, which was incredibly bonding. I had sponsees do fifth steps with me, which is just such an amazing honor. You know, I was the maid of honor at her wedding. I've been at sponsees at the birth of their children. You know, I did service. I had my home group, prayer, literature, steps, all that. I built a kick-ass foundation. And then, you know, life shows up. You know, and I started, and life got bigger, and I got more responsibility, and I got a little bit pickier and choosier in terms of what meetings I was going to go to. You know, I started going to the meetings that I liked, you know, and the meetings where my friends were. And I started hanging out with my friends, and over time, my sponsees moved on to other sponsors, moved out of the area, got high. I had no sponsees, and I wasn't reaching out to newcomers anymore. When I was at the meeting, I wanted to talk to my friends, my clique, you know. And then when I had 10 years clean, I turned 30, I got married, and I had a baby all that year. And how I would have loved to have stopped my story like 2 seconds ago. But anyway, I got to tell you the truth. This is my experience. I can tell you what to do, and I can tell you what not to do. I'm an example of both. So I have depression, and I've always had depression before, during, and after my active addiction. But after I had that baby, I had postpartum depression, which was a whole nother animal. And even though I would have told you before that my program was fine, that I was fine, I didn't want to get high, I was fine. In reality, before that, I had already started to pull away from Narcotics Anonymous. I already had started to run on self-will. You know, I already had started to disconnect. And then when the storm hit me, that was it. I isolated. I didn't come around. I didn't answer the phone. I was not honest about where I was at. You know, occasionally I would get the energy to get all dolled up, which when I have depression means taking a shower and brushing my hair. And I'd go out to a meeting, But I wasn't honest with people about how bad I felt. And people just knew that I wasn't around. My sponsor knew what was going on with me. And, you know, I didn't talk to her very much. And there were times where she asked me, am I still your sponsor? You know? But she didn't abandon me. She stayed with me, and she loved me. She loved me when I couldn't love myself, with 10 years clean, and when I was miserable, and when I was in darkness, she still loved me, and she didn't push me. She just let me know that she was going to be there for me whenever I was ready to reach my hand out, you know? And eventually, I was able to work through the depression and start coming back around. But what I did was I kind of went back to where I was with 9 years clean, where I just wanted to go to the meetings I wanted to go to. So it still was half-stepping, you know? I did that for a while. Life moves on. Bought houses, had children, whatever. I still don't want to get high. I'm fine. But you know what? I wasn't fine. And that's what I didn't realize until it hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, that I had 15 years clean and I was still unhappy. And more than being unhappy, I was exhausted. Running on self-will and being isolated and trying to do everything yourself is exhausting, especially after living the steps and living a program and turning my will over to my higher power and understanding that freedom. Coming back from that is really exhausting. I didn't want to get high, okay? That's the truth. My obsession has been lifted, and thank you to my higher power for doing that. And my kick-ass foundation carried me. However, I was not receiving all the benefits of this program, you know. I was not very pleasant to be around. I was not present for my friends when they needed me, you know. I was not a good friend. I was not a good wife. I was not a good mother. But yeah, I wasn't getting high. Whoop-dee-doo. So 18 months ago, I decided to make a real change and recommit myself to the program, which involves me reaching out to people I didn't know, which involved me going not necessarily to the meetings that I like, where my friends are at. I started going to the meetings that my schedule worked with, you know, and I got a home group. And this is not a home group I ever would have picked if I could have looked at the meeting list and picked a home group. This is the noon meeting of Frederick, Narcotics Anonymous. It meets 6 days a week. It's huge. You know, there's 20 people in the home group. Group consciences are an amazing opportunity to work on principles. Because 20, you know, that's a lot of personalities. But I'm so happy to be there. And if you're in Frederick on May 25th, we're having our 27th anniversary speaker jam. Nothing comes instantly for me here when I'm working my program. So when I recommitted myself to my recovery, when I started reaching out, when I got a home group, when I started going to meetings regularly, I started writing on my steps, started doing all of that, I did not feel better right away. You know, and that's something I always have to remember, because I'll go back to that. Instant gratification is what I looked for and what I got from drugs. I do not get instant gratification in Narcotics Anonymous. What I get here is hope. I get hope, and I get the opportunity to do some work, and if I do the work and I'm consistent, then I get the results, you know, and sometimes I need to be reminded not to give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens, you know, and the miracle has been happening to me in the past few months, and I just cannot even tell you how grateful I am to my higher power, to Narcotics Anonymous, because I feel like I'm back, you know, I feel like Margie is back, and like she was gone for a while, you know. And I'm finally starting to feel like myself again, and that's only because I made the decision to work the program of Narcotics Anonymous. That's only because people like my sponsor and like my network didn't give up on me and never disconnected from me and always kept their hand out for me, you know. I'm really grateful to have a home group and have a sponsor, and I'm grateful to be here. I'll keep coming back.